All right, let's dive into some really cool stuff today. Fine art processing.
Yeah, not just the technical how-to, but like the principles, you know, that really make your images stand out, captivating.
Exactly. And our source today is an article by Joel Tinchelar. It's called High-Level Principles for Fine Art Processing. You can find it on the BW Vision website.
And what I think is really fascinating about this article is it avoids those kind of abstract definitions of fine art.
Right. Gets right to it.
Yeah. So Tinchelar, he focuses on this idea that processing, it should be a deliberate tool to express your vision. You're not just, you know, trying to perfectly reproduce reality.
Right, right.
It's about deviating from it to create something aesthetically pleasing, but also something that communicates a message.
And here's like the main thing. He says effective visuals are like inherently aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty and impact, they kind of go together.
They do, yeah. And he lays out these seven high-level principles. And these aren't tied to any specific software, even if you're working in color or black and white.
So these are like universal truths of visual communication.
Exactly, yeah. And the first principle is selective tonal contrast. Think about how your eye is naturally drawn to the areas of highest contrast, the brightest light,
right,
in an image.
It's like a spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It highlights what's important. That's how you define the figure of an image, the main subject that you want to emphasize. And then to further enhance that sense of depth, he suggests darkest tones in the foreground.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about contrast, but where the contrast is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how you create a sense of three-dimensionality. You know, think about how classical painters would use darker tones to push objects forward and lighter tones to make them recede.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you want the background to just like fade away and let the subject stand out, you'd use lowest contrast in the background. His third principle.
Right. You're creating a visual hierarchy.
Yeah.
You're guiding the viewer's eye where you want it to go. And then to really lock in that focus, Tinchelar's fourth principle is highest contrast near the figure.
So you're combining low contrast in the background to make it recede with a burst of contrast around the subject to bring it forward.
Exactly. A powerful technique.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to talk about creating presence.
Ooh, that sounds kind of like mysterious. How do you create presence?
It's all about those subtle light transitions, well-defined edges. They make the subject feel tangible, like you could reach out and touch it.
So again, it's not just the overall contrast, but how the contrast is shaped, how it transitions.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And then to push that sense of depth even further, the sixth principle, contrasting dimensionalities. Imagine, you know, a sharp three-dimensional sculpture, and it's set against this blurry, almost two-dimensional background.
Ah, I get it. You're playing with the dimensionality of different elements.
Exactly. The contrast between that sharp sculpture and that softer background really emphasizes the three-dimensionality.
Okay, so we've got these six principles creating this hierarchy. How do we apply them? How do we use them?
So Tinchelar, he emphasizes the importance of understanding the concept of figure and ground. And this is something that he draws from art historian Mark Gettlein.
Okay, so figure and ground. What's the big deal? Why is it like the highest level of image analysis?
It might seem simple at first, but it's very powerful. So the figure is your primary subject, the focal point.
Yeah.
And the ground is everything else.
So before you even start processing, you have to identify what you want people to look at.
Exactly, yeah. It's like laying the foundation for your image. And once you understand the relationship, the interplay between figure and ground, you can consciously apply these principles to create a more impactful image.
I like it. It's like a secret code, a hidden language of visual communication.
Yeah, it really is. And the more you understand this language, the more you can communicate through your images.
And figure and ground, I mean, that's valuable for, you know, any visual artist,
yeah,
photographer, painter, filmmaker, even, you know, designing a website.
Absolutely, yeah. It's about training your eye to see the structure of any composition. That's what visual literacy is all about.
Okay. So we got our figure and our ground. How do we put this into practice? What's the workflow?
Well, Tinchelar, he outlines a 10-step workflow in the article. And it all starts with identifying the figure and ground, as we've discussed.
Right, right. You got to know what you're working with before you start messing around.
Exactly. And then the real power comes from using masking techniques, especially in Photoshop, to selectively adjust contrast, light, and detail.
Ah, masking. It's like having custom tools for your image. You're creating these masks that allow you to target your adjustments, like with laser precision.
He actually says that mastering masking is key to having the level of control you need for fine art processing.
It's like he really likes masking. But before we get into the how-to, let's step back. What's his overall approach? He calls it method driven.
Yeah,
right?
He does. Yeah. And this is where it gets interesting. It's about having a deliberate and structured workflow, but it goes beyond just following steps.
So it's not about presets.
Right.
Or actions. Mm-hmm. It's understanding why you're doing each thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about understanding the visual effect that you're trying to achieve and how it contributes to the overall message.
So you're not just like randomly tweaking sliders. You're making choices based on these six principles.
Exactly. And that's what separates this from just editing a photo. You're a visual storyteller.
Yeah. It's a great way to put it. And speaking of storytelling, I think it's time to dive into his 10-step workflow. Let's see how these principles come to life.
So welcome back. Let's dig a little deeper into Jinjilar's workflow.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's like we've got this new way of like seeing images now.
It is, yeah. It's like understanding these principles. It opens up all these possibilities.
Okay. So last time we were talking about his method-driven approach and that 10-step workflow.
Yeah. And remember that the foundation of that workflow is that concept of figure and ground. You have to, you know, identify those key elements first.
Right. So, okay. Let's say I'm working on a landscape photo.
Hmm.
And there's like a lone tree. That's my figure. What's the first step? What do I do?
It might surprise you, but Jinjilar actually starts with the ground, not the figure.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He believes that by establishing the ground, it sets the stage for the figure to stand out. It's like, you know, you're creating the context, the atmosphere for your main subject.
Right. So it's like building the foundation.
Exactly. And the first thing he does is lower the contrast in the ground. This helps it kind of recede visually. It creates a sense of, you know, calmness and simplicity.
So you're like toning down the noise in the background.
Exactly. And then depending on the mood you want to create, you can either, you know, darken the ground for a low-key effect or lighten it for like a high-key.
Right. So that's how you kind of start shaping the mood of the image.
Yeah, exactly. But the key is to lower the contrast first before you do anything with the brightness.
Oh, so why is that so important?
Well, because if you just darken or lighten the ground without adjusting the contrast, you might end up with unwanted contrast, even if the brightness is where you want it. It's about, you know, control and subtlety.
Okay. Okay. So you're like carefully crafting that background so it doesn't distract from the subject.
Exactly. Yeah. And now with the ground established, we turn our attention to the figure.
All right. Time to make that lone tree pop.
Yes.
What's the first step?
Just like with the ground, the first step is to lower the contrast. But this time, it's done selectively, focusing on specific areas within the figure.
Oh, okay. So you're not just, like, flattening the contrast across the whole thing.
No, no. You're being much more, you know, intentional
right.
about it. You're looking for ways to create a balanced tonal structure within the figure, emphasize some areas, de-emphasize others.
It's like sculpting with light and shadow.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy. And then just like with the ground, once we've lowered the contrast selectively, then we can adjust the overall brightness of the figure. You know, darken or lighten areas, bring out details, enhance that three-dimensionality.
Okay. So we're really fine-tuning things now, like carefully shaping the figure to make it pop against that simple background.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then to really make it stand out, we increase the contrast in and around the figure. This creates that, you know, that punch that really draws the viewer in.
So it's like we're reversing what we did in the earlier steps.
Yeah.
But now with like a more refined approach.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's this interplay, this back and forth between lowering and raising the contrast that creates that visual hierarchy and depth.
It's like a dance.
Yeah.
All these steps.
A carefully choreographed dance.
To create this effect.
That's a beautiful way to think about it.
I like that.
And speaking of choreography, we're not done yet. The next step is to bring back detail to the figure.
Okay.
But again, selectively.
Oh, so it's not just like sharpening everything.
No. No, not at all. This step is about carefully enhancing the detail in certain areas to emphasize that three-dimensionality in the texture.
And is this where masking comes in?
Absolutely. Masking is crucial for targeting specific areas. You don't want to sharpen the whole figure indiscriminately.
Right. Right. It could look weird.
Yeah. Especially if your background is, you know, intentionally soft.
Yeah.
Out of focus. For this step, Gingelar actually recommends a combination of hard masks and luminosity masks.
Luminosity masks. Remind me, what are those again?
Sure. So think of hard masks as selections based on the, you know, shape and edges of an object. Luminosity masks, on the other hand, are based on the brightness values of the pixels.
Right. So if I want to adjust the contrast in like the midtones of that tree, I could use a luminosity mask to only target those pixels.
Exactly. Yeah. And by combining hard masks and luminosity masks, you can create incredibly precise selections.
Okay. So it sounds powerful.
It is.
But also kind of complex.
Yeah.
And I can see why he really emphasizes mastering masking.
Yeah. It's the key to unlocking this new level of control and subtlety. But we're not done with masking yet. There's one more step where it plays a vital role.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What's that?
It involves selectively bringing back detail in the ground.
Wait. But I thought we were trying to make the ground, you know, recede.
Yeah, you are. But it's all about balance. And visual interest. While we want the ground to be less prominent than the figure, it shouldn't be totally devoid of detail. Sometimes adding, you know, a little detail to the ground can actually enhance the composition.
Okay, so it's not about just making it disappear.
Yeah.
It's about, like, finding the right balance.
It is.
Between simple.
Yeah.
And interesting.
It's like adding subtle details to the clouds.
Right.
Or distant mountains to create a sense of depth.
So we're being really, really intentional.
We are. With every little tweak.
Yeah.
That's Gingelar's method-driven approach. It's about having a clear vision and, you know, using these techniques to achieve it.
Okay, so we're back. Ready for that last step in the workflow.
All right. This last step is about adding, you know, that final touch, the refinement that brings the image to life.
Okay. Tell me more.
It's about creating depth right. by using these gradations of light and shadow.
So it's not just about the contrast, but how that contrast like changes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Think of it like adding a final polish, using those gradations to make the planes, the different planes in the image kind of, you know, recede.
So this is like a really subtle thing.
It is, yeah. You gotta find that sweet spot where it enhances the depth without being too obvious.
And I'm guessing masking plays a role here, too.
Oh, absolutely. You'll use masks to target certain areas
right.
within, you know, both the figure and the ground, creating these subtle transitions that enhance the depth without being too heavy-handed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're subtly guiding the viewer's eye, creating that that three-dimensionality.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. And it all goes back to those principles we talked about.
Right.
You know, selective contrast, darkest tones in the foreground. It all works together.
You know, it's funny. As we're talking, I'm like starting to see these principles everywhere.
Yeah.
In all kinds of images. It's like I've learned this new language.
You have. Yeah. It's like a secret code. And once you start seeing it, you can't not see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes you appreciate like all the thought that goes into so many of the images we see every day.
It does, yeah. It's not just about, you know, snapping a picture. It's about making these conscious choices to guide the viewer and, you know, evoke a feeling.
And Gingelar really emphasizes that with his whole method-driven thing.
He does, yeah. It's not about following a recipe. It's about understanding the why. Why am I making this adjustment? How does it affect the image?
So even though he has, like, this 10-step workflow, it's not meant to be, like, a strict rule book.
Not at all, no. It's a framework. It's a starting point. And as you become more familiar with, you know, the principles, then you can start to experiment,
right.
break the rules.
That's what makes it so cool. It's not just like technical, you know.
Right.
It's about expressing something.
It's about using those technical skills to express a vision.
This is so much more than just like, you know, Photoshop.
It is, yeah. It's about creating something meaningful, something that resonates with people.
You know, this whole conversation has been, it's been great. I'm really seeing the power of like visual communication.
Yeah.
This goes way beyond photography, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
These principles, they apply to any visual medium, film, painting, design. It's about understanding how to arrange elements to create an experience for the viewer.
So no matter what you do, if you're, you know, if you work with visuals, understanding this stuff it's really valuable.
It is. Yeah. It can make you a better creator.
Right.
An even more critical viewer of, you know, of the images you see around you.
Well, that's a great point to end on. So thanks for joining us for this deep dive. I hope you learned something, and we'll see you next time.